the four students were assigned two students to a room, and Hafizab and his then young family with two children, he had two children at the time, all shared a single bedroom in his house.
Allah,
so subhanAllah, Hafizab had given preference to his students over his own personal comfort. And this was an attribute and a quality of him that he had displayed throughout his entire life. And together with this, Hafizab had taken the responsibility now to wake us up in the morning for classes, to prepare us for classes, and you know, he had taken the burden off our parents at the same time. So this was a dedication and commitment that Hafizab had maintained throughout his life in the khidmat of Deen. He went the extra mile. And you know, if you look at Hafizab's life, in everything that he had done, he tried to attain that type of commitment. He demanded it from himself as well as from his students, and that dedication. And you know, if you look at the riwayat from our teachings of Deen, that Inna Allah katab al ihsan ala kulli shay, that Allah Ta'ala prescribes perfection in everything that you do. And Hafizab was an embodiment of this, be it in his teaching, be it in his relationship with his students, be it in his imamat, be it in his madrasa, in everything that Hafizab did. Hafizab rahmatullahi alayhi, he did it to the utmost, to the best of his ability. So that just shows, you know, the first incident. I just wish to highlight a few incidents from my association with Hafizab.
Please, Mona.
That was the first incident that shows his commitment to teaching the Quran. Despite, you know, maybe against, you know, his personal preferences, you know, he left that aside. He put the preferences of his students at the forefront. Then I'll just continue. That continued for about 3 years, Maulana. We lived at his house for 6 days in a week. We stayed there and we progressed, alhamdulillah, with our his classes. And towards the end of 1993, maybe early 1994, the opportunity opened up for Hafizab to move to Pietermaritzburg, also for the khidmat of Deen. Maulana?
Ji, we listening, Maulana.
Now, I wish to highlight now, again, Hafizab's dedication and his commitment to teaching. At that point in time, Hafizab, I was, from the four students that he had, I was the furthest, I had progressed in my years. It was around 22, 23 paras at the time. So Hafizab, you know, one day very jokingly, he mentioned to me that, you know, I'll be moving to Pietermaritzburg, inshallah, and I want you to come and stay with me.
Allahu Akbar.
So I took it as a joke at the time, and, you know, I agreed, and not thinking much of it. However, a few weeks later, Hafizab got back to me and he said that, you know what, everything has been confirmed, and I've arranged your schooling and everything in Pietermaritzburg, and in 2 weeks' time, we'll be leaving, so inshallah, you know, you're coming with me.
Allah Akbar.
Now, you know, it was shocking for me at the time to leave everything that was familiar and, you know, everything that was near and dear to me. And I displayed some sort of hesitation. And, you know, I told Hafizab that inshallah, I need to think about it. And at that point, I noticed the disappointment and the concern, you know, on Hafizab's face. Because a lot of his effort, a lot of his time, a lot of his commitment had gone into teaching me the Quran. And, you know, definitely it's a lot of hard work. So Hafizab then spoke to my marhum father. And after making mashura, he managed to convince my father. And my father came to me and said to me that, listen, there's no two ways about it. You have to go. You know, for everything that Hafizab has done for you, you have to make the sacrifice now, and you should go with Hafizab. And in that way, I moved to Pietermaritzburg with Hafizab in 1994. Then again, you know, to show Hafizab's commitment and dedication, Maulana, I moved with Hafizab to Pietermaritzburg. He took me in not just as a student, but as a son as well. You know, one is having a student and taking the responsibility of teaching him Quran. That is is great in itself. But taking a student, bringing him into your home, living, so taking responsibility for the living arrangements, for the food, for the well-being, for the schooling. This is something that Hafizab took on himself personally. You know, and it is something that definitely, you know, is unparalleled. And definitely, you know, cannot be repaid for myself, the ihsan that Hafizab has showered upon me. Then again, when he moved to Pietermaritzburg, Hafez Saab lived in a three-bedroom house. From those bedrooms, one bedroom was assigned the madrasa classroom in his house.
In his house, for the iftar.
So together with myself, that I was living with him full-time, there were three or four students from Pietermaritzburg that used to come and go every day. So in his house, one bedroom was assigned for the madrasa. The second bedroom was for myself because I lived with him. And the third bedroom, Hafez Saab, and then himself and his young family of three children all shared a single bedroom.
Allah.
Again, you see Hafez Saab putting preference for his students, preference for his madrasa over himself. And this continued, Maulana, for a period of 1 year. I, alhamdulillah, managed to complete my hijj with Hafez Saab during the year of 1994. And the amazing thing is that, you know, if you look at the dedication and the commitment of Hafez Saab, he continued serving the community of Pietermaritzburg from 1994 continuously up to his demise in 2018, just, you know, very recently.
Gee.
So continuous dedication to his imamat, to his maktab, to his hijj students, is what Hafez Saab displayed. And another important aspect to note, that if you see from the lifestyle of Hafez Saab rahmatullah alayh, that from the time that I remember, we had moved to Pietermaritzburg in 1994, Hafez Saab's residence in Apollo Road, that is opposite the masjid, at the time of Hafez Saab's demise, he was still residing in the same house.
Allahu
now,
Akbar.
You know, generally amongst us, you know, our community, generally everyone in life, they wish to upgrade and progress as they progress in life. And Hafez Saab had the opportunity to move to a bigger house, to move to, you know, to upgrade, so-called, in life. However, Hafez Saab chose to remain in the same place for his entire duration in Pietermaritzburg simply because of the proximity to the masjid, that he felt that this is something that definitely cannot be replaced.
Maulana, tell me, you've spent a lot of time and we've heard so much amazingly about his khidmat to the Quran Kareem and his dedication to the Quran and the dedicated that he had for his students, etc. Tell us something personal you witnessed while staying with him. As a person in his informal home, with his family, you in and out of there, what was something that stood out for you at home from Hafez Saab's life?
SubhanAllah, Maulana, you know, the fact that you mentioned that, you know, those that have some experience with the hijj class will understand that, you know, sometimes in the class itself, in the hijj class, things sometimes get a bit heated, you know.
Gee.
When you don't know your work, you know, all the boys, you know, you find that first one, the second one, the third one, all of them, you know, you find that they don't know their work on a particular day. And, you know, obviously, you know, there's some sort of discipline that needs to be meted out, that sort of thing. But Hafez Saab was, you know, he was aware of the fact of my situation living with him, because you know it's not a normal madrasa situation where when you finish classes and you go home and you're free and your mind is off your work for the day.
Gee.
But Hafez Saab, SubhanAllah, once we stepped out of the classroom of the hijj class and around the supper table or on our, you know, visits out of the house or whatever it is, nothing from the class was brought into those discussions, you know.
Gee.
Hafez Saab was able to switch between the ustad, being the ustad in the madrasa. Hafez Saab's humility was such that he could relate to you on a level as a ustad and as on a level as a friend. So one felt that Hafez Saab was very easily approachable, and all those that have an association with him will attest to his soft and humble demeanor. You know, always smiling, very approachable, you know. And together with his discipline that he meted out in his class, but alhamdulillah, he was a very approachable and very soft and very caring person.
Maulana, you've given us so much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, grant the people of Mountain Rise Ni'am al-Badal, and grant the Ummah people that have sacrificed so much for Quran, so that it may once again be alive in the homes of the people, the ulama, the communities. And it's people's sacrifices like these that he keeps the Quran in the environment, in the Hufaz and the Ulama. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and bless Hafez Saab for all his khidmat to the Quran as well.
Ameen, Ameen, Maulana.
Maulana, before you go, I want you to listen on air. We're playing a clip of Hafizah. For those that know, probably listen to it, close your eyes, understand who you've lost. I wish I could meet people like this more and more and benefit from them. We ask our engineer, Usama, to play us the clip of Hafizah.
مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا إنا خلقنا الإنسان من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا إنا هديناه السبيل إما شاكرا وإما كفورا إنا أعتدنا للكافرين سلاسل وأغلالا وسعيرا إن الأبرار يشربون من كأس كان مزاجها كافورا عينا يشرب بها عباد الله يفجرونها تفجيرا يوفون بالنذر ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا ويطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا إنا نخاف من ربنا يوما عبوسا قمطريرا فوقاهم الله شر ذلك اليوم ولقاهم نظرة وسرورا وجزاهم بما صبروا جنة وحريرا متكئين فيها على الأرائك لا يرون فيها شمسا ولا زمهريرا.
Obviously, if those people that know the voice and read Sarah behind Hafizah for the better part of 20 years, just bring back a flurry of memories, you know, when you go in the masjid and you hear the voice, or you're sitting at the radio and you hear the voice, just brings back a flurry of memories. Indeed, the community of Pietermaritzburg have a void that cannot be filled. My memories of Hafizah start from my childhood, growing up in the Mountain Rise Masjid. His beautiful voice of reciting Quran still rings in my ears as we speak. In my primary years of studying the Alim course was a time that Hafizah had the greatest impression in my life. The support and the dua he gave me as a young student when I started giving bayan is something I will be indebted to him forever. His aspect of khidmat was outstanding. The month of Ramadan that just passed, when we were having meals after all the musallis had eaten, few of our ulama had sat down to sit to eat. Hafizah started serving the youngsters like us, and we insisted that he eat, and he refused till we were all served. This was from Maulana Ahmad Akko, and the clip that we just played now was the Eid morning Fajr Salah that Hafizah read. Hafiz Qasim Parak sends a message from Pietermaritzburg. He says that he shared some of his thoughts already with Maulana Shakir Hansa and Maulana Ahmad as well, but he's pleading to us. He say, let us respect and let us honor the ulama that we have that are still living. And there are many of them that are serving the deen of Allah for the better part of 30, 40 years, and many of them are ill, and they are in that part of the age whereby it is very close, whereby they are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us all try and make sure that we benefit from the ulama before they appear on the ulama profile. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the understanding. Maulana Shakir, we've heard quite a bit from Maulana Ahmad. Obviously he's been there for some time. He spent much time in the life of Maulana, and he's been a person that has been close to him both as a student and subsequently as a colleague in Imamat as well. But as a nephew, Maulana, what are some of the things that you had picked up, and what were some of the things that you had seen in the life of Maulana Ahmad?
Okay. the clip that was played.
Ji.
I think that they performed on Eve morning, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, just bringing back memories, you know, on that Eve morning,
Ji.
I was actually in the Kabristan. And, you know, going to the different kubur of the family, and I couldn't recall where Hafizab's mother's kubur was.
Right.
And I was in the Kabristan, and I had phoned him. And I had to ask him, you know, where his mother's kubur was. Little realizing at that time that in 10 days' time, I would be standing by Hafizab's kubur. Listening to Mawlana Shoaib Saab, and, you know, talking of the students, you know, on the day that Hafizab had passed away, after we had brought the body back after making ghusl, it was in the early hours of the morning. And, you know, one was the sadness that we felt as a family. But for me, seeing those students of his at that time, you know, there were so many of them who, some of them were getting ready for class, and they got the news that the ustad had passed away. There were some that actually, you know, came to the class only to be told that our ustad has passed away.
Allahu Akbar.
Seeing grief on those students, it was really touching. You know, even after the burial, after Fajr, when they were sitting around the body, after the burial, when they were around the grave, and, you know, speaking to some of the students also, it was really touching.
That is just, Maulana, it's indicative of how much the ustads, and all ustads, I think, I must say, those that are doing service for those in the hifz class, etc., their sacrifice, their qurbani, we can't understand how much they give. And truly what you say is indicative in the life of Hafizab, and obviously those students that were still studying or worst when he had passed away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the ni'am al-badal, inshallah.
Amen.
What we're going to do, we have the next guest online. Hafizab's nephew is on air with us. Hafizab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, Mulana, to yourself and the fellow guests and listeners. You know, listening to the clip that you just played, like Mulana Shakir also said, just brings back so much of memories of Hafizab. And he was the sound of mountain rice. You know, when you associate the sound of the Haram, you think of Sudais. When you think of Medina, you think of Huzaifi. And when you think of mountain rice, there's nothing else that comes to your mind besides our beloved Hafizab. So it's really a happy, sad occasion right now where we think about his life, but we also lament on the fact that, you know, we won't hear that voice of his ever again.
No, definitely. It is something that many people won't experience because, obviously, that voice is not there. But, obviously, the legacy that he has left and those that became Hafiz by him and those that studied under him, when they take that musalla, that continuation of his service is something which is ever present, I suppose, in the life of those people that will read Salah there. But what is some of your experiences that you had witnessed on a personal level with Hafiz Mahmood, rahmatullahi alayh?
So, at the onset, Mulana, I just want to say jazakallah for granting us this opportunity. He was such an individual that touched the lives of many people. And for us to be speaking about him here is really something that's very humbling. So tonight, inshallah, I'll try and break up three of his very salient characteristics in three buckets to ensure that for us it's something that's actionable and something that we can practice upon. And I'll try and illustrate them with some examples as well. So the first one of these salient qualities was that Hafizab was a selfless, humble, and he was a person who had this mentality of servant leadership. Hafizab rahmatullah alayhi was a selfless individual. Every one of his undertakings, his motives, centered around the fulfilling the orders of Allah Ta'ala. His nature was so unassuming. He was always in the shadows. He never liked the limelight. He preferred to do his khidmah in the darkness of the night, and he didn't do it for any show. There was no riya present in any of his actions, and he was the furthest away from being sanctimonious in any way. The extent of his selflessness and his humility can be seen in various manifestations of his everyday life, and Maulana Shaib and Maulana Shakir have also mentioned quite a few examples of this. But I have one specific example that, you know, I'd like to mention. So Habzab used to clean the Hibs classroom at the Mountain Rise Madrasa, where he taught for many years himself. Sometimes he would bring his own vacuum cleaner and he would ensure that every inch of the class was spotless. Now, Maulana, to put this into perspective, right, think of the role that Hafiz Vahda played in this madrasa masjid environment. He was someone who was teaching in the masjid and madrasa for decades, right? He could have easily asked someone else to clean it, as all the other classrooms in the madrasa used to get cleaned. Or he could even ask one of his students to do so on his behalf, even if he wasn't there. But this was not his nature. So besides his classroom, he cleaned the masjid on many occasions. And one amazing thing that Maulana Bamji mentioned was that he was so grateful that Allah Ta'ala had granted him the opportunity to clean the haram. So when he went to Masjid al-Aqsa a few years ago, he was so honored to have cleaned the haram. And he didn't see any menial task as degrading. Rather, he saw it as an honor that Allah Ta'ala had bestowed upon him such an ability to serve others. Now, moving on to his servant leadership mentality. Now, this servant leadership mentality concept gets thrown around in the corporate environment, right? These are references made to, you know, brilliant business minds,
yes,
or
yes,
great CEOs, etc., etc. But now, Hafizab, with his selflessness, he immediately brings to the fore his servant leadership mentality. Now, a servant leader is someone who is in an esteemed position. Now, Hafizab, obviously, in his case, he was an imam for over 24 years. He was a man in his 50s. He had been at the helm of, you know, many students completing the Quran. And this was a man cleaning the masjid himself. So to put it into perspective, it makes one think, really, this is nothing ordinary. Subhanallah, what an individual. Another example of his selflessness and servant leadership mentality was apparent every year on the occasion of Eid al-Adha. And he would go to great lengths to ensure that, you know, he had the best animals. And in fact, soon after Ramadan, his focus would shift entirely towards Qurbani. Now, you know, on the day of Eid, there's a lot that goes on. But before the day of Eid, besides all the preparation and the drudgery that goes on, Hafizab's hardworking nature and selflessness would manifest itself. He wouldn't shy away from any task. He would handle the animal. He would skin the animal. He would even clean the insides of the animal and clean the area outside after everything was done. He was always at the forefront. Now, as a young person, I used to wonder, and we used to wonder, how did Hafizab manage to get so much of work done? Such was his ubiquitous nature. He showed compassion and love to the animals as well. And if he was the one slaughtering, the animals would have the pleasure of listening to Hafizab recite in its ear, and wallahi, that animal would be calm, it would be relaxed, it would be subdued. He attended to all the aspects of Qurbani with great enthusiasm because he recognized that Qurbani was such a great ibadah. The second aspect, Maulana, is that, and it's three, so this is the second one, good mannerism.
Just be a little bit quick, Hafizab, we have two more guests coming online.
Okay, so it's good mannerism and his love for children. So he was the epitome of good manners. Everything that he undertook was represented by the highest morals and manners. In my experience, what touched me the most over the years was that as my ustad, Hafizab would have an emphatic amount of patience with me and other students in the Hibs class, like Maulana Shaib mentioned.
Yes.
But what impressed me was that quite often we used to test these patients in the Hibs class. But if I had to see him later on in my capacity as an SU, I wouldn't have any fears about Hafizab rebuking me or alluding to my performance in the Hibs class from earlier that day or week. It was a really exemplary quality. Also, his love for children. Children loved him and he loved them. And his nature was such that if he had to meet kids, he would recognize their presence, he would address them by their names, he would offer salam to them, and he would speak to them in a social environment where often we as adults tend to neglect this. And the last aspect, Maulana, is that the love and the respect that Hafizab had for the Quran and the masjid. Hafizab didn't just teach the Quran. He loved the Quran, and that's why he taught it. Very simple. Hafizab was truly a man of the Quran. You know, apart from his exemplary behavior, I used to test him quite often in Ramadan, and he rarely, rarely, rarely made a mistake. And even if he did, he would recite that portion in Salah to perfect it once again. You know, talking about those who honor the symbols of Allah and respect the symbols of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions,